Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. Hey, listen, somebody out there better be ready to grab the reins of this horse and run with it here, because we're in the middle of a thunderstorm here out in the cornfields in this underground bunker outside of Columbus, Ohio. Big thunderstorm moving through here, right? If I get knocked on that, somebody's going to have to pick it up so I'm able to jump back in. Y'all hearing me okay right now? Good. We're still working. Praise the Lord. There's old John Pride. Good to see you there, John. April, what is it, 25th, 2016. Boy, I'm glad you guys joined. It's been a big day. We've got a big day ahead of us. I've got a big day ahead of me. Middle of the night. It was, I suppose, to wake up in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock. Couldn't sleep. My mind was racing. Thousand things run through my head. I'm getting ready to do something today. And I shared this with you guys before, that when you're getting ready to do something from the Lord, when you hear from the Lord specifically that you're supposed to do something, there always comes a second voice. Remember me saying that? Somebody nods your head. Yep, Coach, I remember you saying that. And I got to tell you, that second voice has been screaming at me for about 20 hours. Everywhere I turn, that second voice is screaming, trying to prevent me from doing what it is I know I'm supposed to do. Now, I don't say that to cast aspersions at anybody who's been that second voice, because praise the Lord for second voices sometimes. But I know that I'm about to do what I'm supposed to do. But the good thing was, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had a lot on my mind, and it really wasn't about today and what I'm going to do today. I just had a lot of things that are running through my mind as I look at it, things that are undone, and that little housekeeping stuff I got to get done for the boot camp in St. Louis this weekend, the boot camp in Texas. And see, one of the problems I run into, we're setting up a boot camp in St. Louis and setting up a boot camp in Texas. I don't know if you know this or not. That's not across the street from me. You understand? Takes me some time and effort and energy and money to fly to Texas. And I don't even know if anybody's going to come. I really don't even know. Because this horse that I'm riding is a different horse, to say the least. And I was having that conversation with my sweet wife, who's just absolutely the most supportive spouse anybody ever had, ever. Wrote last week about why does nobody care. And we have been so programmed to not push back against anything. The devil's kids do. The devil's kids constantly are chaotic. They're constantly fighting and pushing back. Somebody's got some background noise on there. Thank you. Devil's kids they're known to push back. We call it rebel, right? And Christians aren't supposed to be rebels. Well, I disagree with that, because I believe that Christians are supposed to be rebels against the works of darkness. We're supposed to rebel, push back against the forces of darkness. But we've been so conditioned in our churches, so conditioned by so many things that we don't. We just sit around and we watch things happen. And I remember using the phrase, I don't know how long I've been using it, the five saddest words in the English language are, I saw that one coming. You can repeat that with me. Saddest words in the English language, I saw that one. You can apply it to a lot of things in your life. You can apply it to maybe some friends of yours are getting a divorce. You can apply it to a young kid getting in trouble. You can apply it to bad business deals. You can apply it to everything. And the sad part about that statement is, the regret that, gee, I saw that one coming. And the unspoken word is, I could have done something about it. I saw it coming. Saw it coming. I was sitting in here this morning, got up, I was a little late getting up this morning, about 5:45, and I heard the thunder. Heard it rumbling in the distance. Not real smart, but I thought, man, something's coming this way. I knew that was coming. So because of that, I walked outside and I covered up some things that normally I would not have covered up. And I know that had I not done that, I'd have walked out of the, after the show was over, I'd have walked outside and I'd have thought, doggone it. I should have covered it. I saw that one coming. And I didn't do anything about it. So even though I didn't want to be outside at 5:45 I think I'm going to prevent this. And for whatever reason, we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned in the body of Christ that even though we see that one coming, we're not supposed to do anything about it. Jesus is in control. Jesus, coach, don't worry about it. I read the last book, and Jesus wins. Don't get all worked up. Jesus is coming. And I say, yeah, but I see this thing coming. And they say, don't worry about it. The Buckeyes are on. You can watch the Cavaliers. Coach, relax. Jesus has got it all under control. But, yeah, I see this thing coming. And I can't get away with it. In fact, Jesus addressed that. He said, you hypocrites. He said, you sit on your front porch. And you feel the cool wind, warm breeze blow, and you know it's going to storm. He said, you sit on your back porch, and you see those clouds come rolling in, and you know that there's a storm coming. He said, you hypocrite, why is it you cannot discern the signs of the times? In other words, Jesus is saying, why can't you see that one coming? Why can't you see that? And so we, as children of God, can't we see it coming? Now, here's the difference. We do. The guys that are on this queue and some of you that are watching, you see it coming. And so you go out and you tell everybody, hey, look, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. And ain't nobody cares. And I ask myself, what is this all about? What's this all about? That nobody cares. Well, they care, but they don't really care. And I think people don't really care because they don't see how it impacts them. They don't understand. I don't know why they can't connect the dots. Judge Scalia, back in 2003, when they legalized sodomy, Judge Scalia in 2003, in his court decision, said this will lead to anarchy. Marriage will be next. He ran down through the gamut. He saw that one coming. And nobody listened to him. And so here we are, church. We wake up. It's 2015, about a year ago. They legalized gay marriage. And Scalia said, I see this one coming. And nope, the church didn't care. The church, who Jesus himself called us hypocrites because we of all people ought to see the way the wind's blowing and be able to prepare and do something about it. He warns over and over and over to not miss the signs. He warns us to keep our lamps trimmed. He warns us to be prepared over and over and over. Now, if the storm's rolling over my hill, which I, back behind us is a little bit of a hill, and so I say, Michelle, well, storm's rolling over the hill. When I know the storm's getting ready to coming over the hill, I prepare. So I look at what's on in America and in the culture. I see the storm coming over, I prepare. I don't just get everybody and run down into the basement and sit down here, wait till the storm passes, because if a real storm comes through, if I don't prepare, when I get up and walk outside, my yard is going to be in an entirely different place than it was when I went down in the basement. So Jesus warns us not so that we can hide in the basement. Jesus gives us fair warning so that we can be prepared to do something, to counteract it. So this whole issue of Target, I'm going to talk about here a little bit. This whole issue of Target and the women's restroom, excuse me, men's restroom, its restroom, whatever it is, I see that one coming. Can I explain it to you here? You don't mind? Let me explain what I see coming. First of all, I'm going to ask you to do something that's really hard to do. I'm going to ask you to use some common sense. Okay, can somebody help me out here? Try to do a little bit of common sense. And also, those of us who have a little bit of common sense to understand that the scriptures tell us that we're not to be ignorant of his devices, that we understand that the enemy's weapon is always deception, lies and deception always, and what he does a good job of is questioning our soul. That's what he does. So our media is over since they legalized sodomy in 2003, really even before that, but in 2003, and then Governor Romney gave us homo marriage in 2004 in Massachusetts. I was there, by the way. Went to that. We traveled out there because I saw that one coming back in 2003. I listened to Scalia or the Spirit of the Lord. They've been telling us they've been making this whole homo thing a civil rights issue. And, of course, we're stupid enough we believe it. We were stupid enough to let them tell us that being black is the same as being a man. That having skin color is the same. See, skin color can't be changed. Right? Sex can't be changed. You can go have everything you have cut off. It can't be changed. So discriminate against, I hate that word, to be bigoted towards a man because of the color of skin is something he can't do anything about. We would never make fun of someone's not as bright as we are, a special education student. We would never make fun of them because they can't do algebra. We would accommodate the curriculum to their level. We wouldn't teach them a different language. We would accommodate them. We used to be like that in school. You remember that? You had college prep, and then you had the low. Now we got Common Core. Everybody the same thing. The idea being they want to make everybody the same. But listen, guys and girls, this is not about discrimination, and it's not about sexual orientation. It's not about anything. It's not about any of that. A woman being able to use a man determined by genetics. If you're born with male genitalia, no matter what, you're a male. You can't change that. You're a male. Now, remember this. Even if they take a man, they cut off his genitalia, and they check his DNA, he's a male. You cannot change who you are. I saw this interesting thing today. That they're calling what's going on in America, well, JR, I don't know if you saw the Columbus Dispatch this morning, Kevin, Roger. The city of Columbus is one of the first cities in America now that will pay for sex change operations. The insurance will pay for it. One of the first ones. And they used a word that I went and looked up because I wasn't really sure what it was, and they called it sexual gender, whatever, gender dysphoria. I thought, that's an odd word. D-Y-S-P-H-O-R-I. Gender dysphoria. Huh. So I went and checked. What was that? Well, dys, D-Y-S, means sickness. Or not feeling well. And phoria means to see. So dysphoria is being sick about what you see. What you see makes you sick. So they, in the very definition of it, they claim that a sexually confused person they're troubled. Their body's perfectly normal, but they got a mental problem. Those of you who watch the show regularly know I say, no, they don't have a mental problem. They have a spiritual problem. That this is a spiritual thing that we're fighting here in America. So they try to tell us that in order for us to be gender neutral or not discriminate. By the way, you guys, you know that word discriminate means just to choose between right and left, fat and skinny, old and young, We do that all the time. It's a good thing you discriminate. Difference between being discriminated and being bigoted. JR is an old businessman. He'd be on the phone with somebody trying to do business. Any good businessman, probably within 5 minutes of the conversation, is discriminated whether this is a sell or not. He knows. If he knows his business at all, he knows. And as a football coach, when I was out on the field, I discriminated immediately. Can I be a running back, or does he have to be? What can I do? I look what he did. Guys, the world runs through discrimination. There's nothing wrong with discrimination. It just means to separate. Look, separate. Not the same as bigotry. So I've said all along that there's no discrimination in marriage. There's no discrimination in marriage. Guys, it's very, very clear. No man, before Obrook fell, no man anywhere can marry a man. No man can marry a man. And no woman could marry a woman, not anywhere. See, bigotry and discrimination in the law would be white guys are allowed to marry men, but black guys aren't allowed to marry men. That would be racist, discriminatory. But to say no men can marry men and no women can marry women, that's not discriminatory. You can't marry the one you love. You can't always marry the one you love. I can't marry my neighbor's wife. He's got a husband. I can't marry them. Law wouldn't permit it. So we've allowed them to hide behind this false sense of discrimination or whatever it is. And so now being told that I can't even keep up with the letters. The LGBTQRSTUWXYZs are being discriminated because they can't go pee where they want to go pee. Somehow that's a discrimination. Guys, listen, this is very simple. I said this the other day, and people were turned off because I was so harsh. If you have a penis, you go into this restroom, and if you have a vagina, you go into this restroom. There is absolutely no discrimination in there, none. Well, we allowed these idiots to tell us that it based on how you feel. I got a clip from Target yesterday, which kind of went, it was good. Here's what's really going on. We know right now today that if there are people who are LGBTQRSTUVWXYZs, if they're out there, we know that at some time they're using public restrooms somewhere. I mean, I don't know where they are, but if a guy is cross-dressing as a woman, he's probably going into a women's restroom someplace and using the bathroom. We know that's happening right now. I've been going into bathrooms a long time. I've never seen a man dressed as a woman come into a men's bathroom. Has anybody ever seen that happen? No, because he got knocked out, right? So we know that when these people are in public, they are, in fact, using the restroom. There's nothing preventing them from using the restroom. What they want us to do, this is critical, they want to have special rights, not equal rights. Special rights. Right now, any man in the world that has male genitalia has to go to this restroom. Doesn't matter how you feel. You are a man. We can prove it in a court of law. And any person who doesn't have male genitalia then goes into this restroom. Same thing. We don't need any laws. It's all very, very clear. That discrimination has already taken place. And for however long we've been a society here in the United States, men went to the men's restroom and women went to the women's restroom. Now, when my wife goes into a women's restroom, she expects some modicum of modesty or privacy. My wife probably, if she goes to Walmart this afternoon and has to make a potty stop, she probably feels in her heart she's safe to go in there and no man's going to come walking in on her, I would think. And if she didn't feel that way, she probably wouldn't use the restroom. She'd hold. So what they're trying to trick us into doing, see, is to get my wife to sacrifice her right to modesty and a modicum of privacy to accommodate what some guy feels about himself. In other words, I want her to sacrifice her right to, in fact, let him have his. Her right doesn't matter. His right supersedes it. That's not equal rights, special rights. They don't have special rights. So I wanted to find out for myself. I went yesterday to Target and get that ready to go there, Jared. I went in with my cell phone in my pocket. I wasn't trying to trick anybody. I wanted to hear from the horse's mouth of all this stuff. You know, you can get internet tales, Facebook stuff's not true. I wanted to go. Matthew 18 tells me to go to the source. So I put the phone in my pocket, and I went in, and I talked to the girl at Walmart, the manager of Walmart. Very friendly conversation. In fact, it made some of my detractors mad because I was nice. They didn't think I knew how to be nice. Go ahead and play that for us, Jared. It's just, well, it's video, but you can't see her face. I kept her face out of it on purpose.
Give me an answer to the question about the restrooms.
Hi there.
How are you doing? Good. My name's Dave Dolan.
Gianna. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Gianna. I've just been hearing a lot of things about your restrooms, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to get it from a horse's mouth rather than stuff you read on the internet. What is the bathroom policy here?
So the policy that headquarters sent down mm-hmm. was whatever you identify yourself as is the restroom that you are welcome.
Okay. So is there any qualifications? I mean, for instance, what would prevent me from right now being able to walk into a woman's restroom?
So the only thing they sent to us was, honestly, what you identify yourself as per gender mm-hmm. is where you can choose to go to the restroom. Okay. There's nothing from us that
you guys aren't checking it or anything like that.
No, we don't have permission or anything along those lines.
You understand, though, as a guy that's got a wife and some daughters, that's concerning to me. I'm sure you understand that.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I definitely understand your concern, and we're hoping to get more information on it or, you know, what that entails. But, you know, as of right now, that's a policy that's been
sent
down.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so just to make sure that I'm right, I could, in fact, go use the woman's restroom right now.
If you identified yourself as a woman, yes.
Wow. Self-identify, huh?
So it's based on...
It's just based on whatever the person thinks.
Yep, so...
And it could change tomorrow. I mean, I could think I was a man. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around
this. I understand. I'm glad you bring me your concern. The other thing I could do is we have a phone number. It's our guest relations number. That's more of a specific headquarters number.
Yeah.
They're the one who... have the policy brought it down to us.
I understand, because you're the one that really matters, because you're the person on the ground here. So if somebody came, you're the one that understands what the policy is.
Yep.
But this is a store-wide or company-wide, not necessarily you.
No,
that's not something.
Yeah, this is every
corporate
Target.
Corporate policy.
And this is corporate policy that came down. So this will be every Target that exists.
Your sweetheart.
Hey, have a good one, okay?
Thanks a lot. Appreciate
Enjoy
you talking
your day.
To me.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye.
Now watch as I go over here, folks. That there might be a man in the back.
So there you heard it, folks. And I'm going to go over here. I want you to see something here at the restroom. No warning at all. Men, please do not bring unpaid merchandise into the restroom.
That's what it says on the door. Don't bring unpaid merchandise in the store. Only warning on the door.
Man might be in there. Please do not bring unpaid merchandise into restrooms. So there you have it. First hand from Target. God bless you.
So we found out from Target, right from their mouth, that anybody can go in any bathroom. There's no warning. Nobody's protected. You don't know when you walk into a Target store to use a public restroom. You don't know that some man can come walking in on it. I think this is critical for a lot of different reasons. And, again, it's clearly not a problem because people come and go inside the restroom. I have a solution to the problem, by the way. All they need to do is have two restrooms. Both of them with locks on the door that only one person can go into. They do that, your problem is just public restroom, and anybody can go use it. But throughout history, we've had gender-based restrooms, right? It's the way our society is designed. So what they want to do now, guys, listen, it's not about their rights. They want to do everything they can to destroy society, all of the structures of society. This demonic, homosexual, mafia, bully group, all they want to do is to destroy all gender identities, associations. Man and man's okay, woman and woman's okay, man and child's okay. It's all the same. No separations at all between sexes and genders. That's what's going on. Now, I'm coming back here. I know I've been on a rant here quite a while. I saw that one coming. If we sit here quietly, I'm promising you this right now. If we sit here quietly, 10 months from today, and I'm just throwing a number out, 10 months from today, the state will have laws regarding gender-neutral bathrooms. They'll be everywhere if we don't stand up now. And by the way, Roger, this is interesting. Somebody sent me this. JR has seen it, too, on my Facebook page. OSHA regulations. You know what OSHA regulations are? Occupation, Health and Safety, whatever administration. They're national standards. That's a federal thing. Requires male and female restrooms. Did you know that? In every workplace. Male, it's federal regulation. So I said what I said yesterday. This is not an issue for Target. Target's got no business doing this. They got no business. But see, they've convinced all of us that we cannot discriminate against these poor deviants, men who have wieners who want to say that they're women. We cannot discriminate against that. And because we can't discriminate it, my wife has to give up the right to us to security and modesty and privacy. That's quite a rant. Stop there again right now. Questions, because I got someplace else we want to go. So far, can anybody add anything or enlighten me, or did I miss anything in this debate? Okay, cool. Well, if you want to, okay. Kevin, did you click in here or not?
Dave?
Yes.
I had an architect friend of mine the other day also go into the OSHA stuff a little bit, but they require a certain amount of female stalls, a certain amount of urinals. It's very interesting what really is required to be in a bathroom.
Right.
And there's not a building out there that's going to be meeting the standard and the requirement if they move in this direction. So we obviously have the spiritual side of the battle, but just from the structure of a building, they're just Target is basically just ignoring the law.
Right, they
forget
are.
Forget about the who gets to do what where, but just from a structural standpoint, they are in violation.
And so here's what I want all of us to see. It's so important, guys. This is a larger agenda. The idea of male and female restrooms, male and female dressing rooms, male and female locker rooms, male and female showers goes back forever, goes back. It is so common and understood that it isn't even in the law. It isn't even in the law. You can go search the Ohio Revised Code today and ask a question about search in there, see if men are allowed to use women's bathrooms. It's not even covered. It's not even covered because it's such a ridiculous thing to say. It would be, what, indecent exposure, invasion of privacy, whatever it is. But see, they want special rights. Understand, special rights is what they're after. Special rights is what they're getting everywhere. They got special rights in marriage. Man can't marry men. None can. But they want special rights. And soon, men are going to want to marry little boys. Why? Because they want special rights. We heard from Target, that's who they think they are, so therefore, they can go wherever they want to. Hey, I see this one coming.
Dave?
Yes.
I think I fell prey to this issue. You know, 20 years ago, I probably had the position, you know, two guys want to get it on in their bedroom. I'm okay with that. You know, just, you know, it's the bedroom, kind of libertarian, government leave me alone. But that's not where they wanted it to end, you know. And it's a simple evaluation, but this is a very similar. 20 years ago, hey, Weaver said, hey, if you want to get it on in your own bedroom and keep that door closed in your own house, I'm okay. And that's kind of all they wanted. You know, they wanted just to be left alone. And well, that's not what they wanted. They had an agenda of where they're going, and this will continue down the road of the free for all, as you've described.
Because they have a straw man. See, the straw man is that they're being discriminated against. That's just not true. It reminds me of one of my most favorite movies I ever watched, which was Hoosiers. And there's a scene in Hoosiers where Gene Hackman becomes a new basketball coach, and the old guy, who used to be the basketball coach, who wants to be the assistant coach, is then conducting practice when Gene Hackman comes walking in. And Hackman fires him, basically. And this old guy, before he leaves, he turns to Gene Hackman and says, you know what you're doing? He says, there's a difference between dressing up like a dog, being in your living room and going out and howling at the moon. It's a difference between doing that and doing that in my living room. And see, they're doing it in our living room. What they do in the privacy of their own home is between them and God. Now they're bringing it into my living room. So at which point, at what point do I stand up and say no to this filth? No. No! Because I see this one coming. Now, I woke up 3 in the morning. I got an email from a great friend of mine. 3 in the morning. It's like the Lord woke me up. He said, go get on the computer. That's not what he said, but I was led to go get on the computer. And there was an email from a friend of mine in Las Vegas. And what did he say in that email he sent to me? Dave, you have, oh, man, you have, what's the word? Provoked me to good works. He is going to do today on his own exactly what I'm going to do this morning in Las Vegas. He says, this is what you have provoked me to do. Can I take a minute and read that to you guys? Would it be okay? I mean, this is just so, it's so powerful. It just encouraged me so much. This is the way that the Lord operates, boys. This, and always in my life, when I get down, see, guys, it's not easy stuff. We ain't doing easy stuff. This cultural war stuff, it ain't easy stuff. And it ain't easy because our own side's against us. Our own team, our pastors won't stand up. They won't fight for us. Here's the email I get up at 3 in the morning. And this is what's on my, I got a cheat email running through here. This is what I read at 3 o'clock in the morning. You ready? Sends it to about 5 of us. It says, men, there's safety in many counselors. I was thinking about doing a one man's protective effort at Target sometime soon, probably as soon as tomorrow afternoon. I think it's 3 in the morning. Would you guys approve? Do you have any advice? Will you pray for me? It means I would be running to and standing in the gap, that being inside and next to the entrance of a women's public restroom of a Las Vegas Target store. The police should be preventing this, as it is an unlawful act for a man to enter a woman's restroom. I'll be holding a warning sign. He's got it down at the bottom. Warning women that men could be in the restrooms. They'll trespass me, he said, perhaps quickly. Stay with me. The manager will insist I leave, and I will ask that they call the police to help me and any other citizens arrest any man that's going to walk into this restroom. I'll continue warning them while the police are on the way. I'll be wearing my bright Jesus is the standard t-shirt, waiting for the police. I'll hope for a trespass citation. Likely could be arrested, especially if the Lord graces me with the holy tenacity necessary to remain standing firmly, having done all before I head off to jail ministry. Coach, you have provoked me to do this. Thank you. In the 1960s, guys, catch this picture. In the 1960s, when prayer was being outlawed in school, my parents and yours should have run into the breach side of that school and knelt in our classroom beside us, next to our school desk, until the police came and hauled them away and hauled kids off to juvenile hall. Men, we cannot miss this opportunity to interpose on the behalf of others now. If you direct otherwise, we can do it around the nation simultaneously with 12 to 40 courageous men in their own cities. But we got to move quickly. Coach, this may also be what you or similar to what you have planned for tomorrow. Regardless of what you do, I'll still be open to following your lead. God may have given you something to do that will stir more folks to run to the breach, and I'm open to follow your lead. For the King's sake and the restoration of all things. I could have said it better. I see what's coming. I see what's coming. And we've been so programmed to submit, not to fight. Fellas, they are undermining the very foundations of Western civilization through a lie. And signing petitions is good, but it's not enough. And boycotting the store is good, but it's not enough. This is a situation where men of God should arise and defend today. Richard Wurmbrandt. When this was going on in Germany, he was hesitant about what he should do. And Richard Wurmbrandt's wife said to him, "You get out of this house and you go wipe the disgrace off of the face of our Savior." I said to Michelle as I woke up this morning, listen, pardon me. I know what's coming. I changed the words. I know what the media is going to do to me. You understand? That's why nobody will do anything. I know what they're going to do to me.
And your
family.
Family. Just you.
I know what they're going to do to me. I know what they're going to do to me. I don't care about jail. I'll be in the jail ministry and share the gospel with everybody else. But it's the ones that are around me. I'm their dad. I'm Michelle's husband. I don't live in a vacuum. And one of the things that happens is they shoot at me and it hits me because I got a face of flint and it splashes off of me and it's all over my family. I'm not trying to be a martyr or try to paint myself out to be something that I'm not. But we want to fight a war with no casualties. We want to win a football game without ever getting knocked on our ass. And I believe that we're in 1963 and it's time somebody stood up and did something. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. I want to share something with you in the scripture. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I don't know why I'm so weepy today. Yes, I do. Because the Lord has done something deep in my heart. I have every reason not to go. Every reason not to go. Somebody's got to go wipe the shame off my Savior's face. We read 2 Timothy chapter 4, Remember we said, I charge you therefore, brethren, before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, disappearing. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Turn away fables. I'm going someplace. Stay with me here. Sorry I'm dominating so much this morning. It's okay. Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, most of it from jail. I hope I don't get arrested. But I'm not afraid to. How come we're not ashamed to get arrested for drunk driving, domestic violence, and that stuff won't even make the news? Guy who stands up for Jesus, they throw mud at him, they crucify him in the public square, they destroy his family. Verse 5. You ready, guys? Watch you in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. 6, for I'm not ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Paul's death is imminent. I'm not going to die today. I'm showing you a principle again. I want to show you what we don't notice. This man, we have a gospel today because of Paul. If he was the president of the United States, he'd have a retirement plan. He'd be flying around the world. If he was Pope, he'd be in the Vatican and have every one of his needs met. Follow Paul's ending here, will you? Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord judge shall give me at that day, not only me, but to all them that love his appearing. Here we go. Do your diligence to come shortly unto me. He's in prison alone. Hey, will one of you guys come and visit me, he says. Now look. For Demas have forsaken me, having loved this present world. His best buddy Demas left him. This is the greatest Christian man in the history of the world, probably. He's departing to Thessalonica and Christians to Galatia. Christians went to Galatia. I just went to Dalmatia. Only Luke is left with me. It's like he's complaining, Luke, of all people, only Luke's with me. He says, take Mark. And bring him with you, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. And I wrote to Tychicus. I sent him to Ephesus. Look at this, verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, which you, when you come, bring it with you. The books, especially the parchments. He's cold. Bring me a coat. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Let me say this. Let me change this. The gatekeepers of the church and of Christianity have done me much evil. May the Lord reward them according to their works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. My first answer, no, man, look at this. And my first answer, verse 16, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. And I pray that God, that he won't lay it to their charge, their desertion. But notwithstanding, the Lord was with me. He drove me. That by me, the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of lions. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So there's Paul's worth earthly reward.
Paul's earthly
reward. Everybody deserted him. He was freezing his butt off in prison. He watched his best buddies. He got too heavy for him. They couldn't take it. They ran, deserted him. All those pastors and everybody stood on his side and made fun of him. Probably conspired to keep him locked up in jail because he's making Jesus look bad. Paul said, "Then said, just forgive him, Lord. They didn't see him." So I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept my faith. For me to know to do good, not to do it to me, it's sin. I don't know. I'm not sad. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm so weepy. I'm not sad. I'm excited. I'm excited about the chance to go up and stand up for the Lord. I guess you know what my sadness is? My sadness is that those who came before us have paid such a great price, and we don't give a damn. We don't give a damn. We don't give a damn. And our children are going to be left living in what we leave them. We don't give a damn. Lord's in control. Jesus is coming. Paul didn't say that. You know, they thought in the first century that Paul was coming, that Jesus was coming. They thought he was coming. Listen, you hear my phone going off? It's my brother who sent me the email 3 a.m. He just got my response. Is that something believable?
Okay.
Yes.
You know, we always hear, you know, Paul's change of his conviction, killing Christians, wrote 2/3 of the gospel. But what you've just shared is foreign to me in relation to recent readings of what the emptiness at the end for Paul for mankind. His God was with him, but how so many had left him.
Everybody says everyone deserted him. Everyone. And why? Demas loved this present world too much. He loved his stuff. He loved the notoriety. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want his name. He didn't want his face to be in the Columbus Dispatch tomorrow morning. He didn't want his face to be on Channel 10 News tomorrow. See, we talk about this glamour, and people would call a guy like me a media hawk. Oh, he's always chasing the camera. Well, you want some attention? I can show you how to get it. You want it? Come with me. I'll let you grab all this attention. It's so much fun to have then. Come on. Oh, no. They don't want to do that. They're too humble to want to do that. And guys, the truth is, our pastors are, they're just freaking cowards. The Baptist Coalition ought to be doing this. The Baptist Coalition ought to have They're not. They're making fun of me because I'm violating the law, not following the law, getting arrested. Well, I got a pretty good leader there, huh? Why am I going to do it? Well, Hebrews, can I take you there real quick? Hebrews 10. Larry likes Hebrews 6. I like all of Hebrews. Everybody, Chet just encouraged my heart. That just encouraged my heart. Here we go. You ready, guys? I'm in Hebrews. Where do I want to start? 19. Having therefore, brothers, boldness. What? Yep. To enter into the holiest blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We've seen that before. So today I hope to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke unto love. Others will see it and say, you know what, he's right. He's right. Politicians aren't going to save us. Our pastors aren't going to save us. Our great big churches aren't going to save us. Legislation isn't going to save us. Nothing's going to save us except the blood of Jesus. Nothing will do that. And as my friend Chet said, worst thing's going to happen today, the Lord's going to put me in jail ministry. Some guys go in there voluntarily to talk to those prisoners. I may get a chance to go in there and minister the gospel of Jesus to visit those who are in prison. Isn't that something? Isn't God good? So what did Paul know, that we don't understand? And again, I'm not patting myself on the back. Paul said, this life's just a vapor. This life's meaningless. Everything in this life's just dung. It's dung. You're going to stand before the Lord and all the stuff that you have and it's all just done. The only thing that's going to remain is you did for the Lord. Now you'd say, well, Coach, is getting arrested, are you doing that for the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you this, I ain't doing it for me. And if I've missed it, I don't endeavor, I don't want to go out here and get arrested. Why would anybody want to do that? I'm following Paul's lead. That's what he did. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. What Daniel did. So all those faith guys in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews we read about the other day, that's what they did. Okay, what do you guys got to say? Anybody there?
Here's what I fear, Coach, that what you're doing today, and we all applaud it, will die for lack of a second.
It doesn't matter.
It does in terms of the church. If we don't back you up and support you, if we don't back you up and support the truth, then shame on us. And we're just as bad, if not worse, than what Target is doing.
JR, I couldn't agree more. And that's why I've said this several times. I'm going to go to Target today because it's not about me. It's not about me. And if I go and I raise up a standard and I lift up the name of the Lord and the people watching this, the people seeing it on TV, if they just sit on their butt, it's about them. It's not about me. I was faithful to go do what the Lord told me to do. I was willing to lay it down, whatever it would be. I'm going to have my daughter's going to try to be there today when it happens to take my valuables and stuff when it's done. And you know what? She said, Dad, I can't come and watch that. Hey, come on, man. It's a promotion. What are you talking about? I'm getting a promotion in the kingdom. Come to my promotion for you. Come to my awards assembly. I'm going to get a crown. Because it's not about me and it's not about this life.
You know, Dave, if in the Old Testament days, Joshua and Isaiah and Ezekiel and the rest of them, if they had heard from the Lord and decided that what the Lord was telling them to tell the people and the actions the Lord was telling them to take was just didn't make a whole lot of common sense and was just too hard to live up to, mm-hmm. we wouldn't even have a Bible, would we?
We wouldn't even have a Bible, brother. Nope. So I said that entire Faith Hall of Fame, that's what it's about people standing up against, okay, Lord, I'll say that. You ready? You serve whatever you fear. That's all I need to say.
And if you're the afraid, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen, brother. And it tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it's a spirit. But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So I'm going to take that spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, and I'm going to go stand up and wipe the shame off of the face of my Savior. This isn't complicated. Scary? Yeah, I suppose. I don't think they'll keep me for 30 years or anything like that. I'll probably be okay. Maybe the Lord will grace me to, who knows? If he graces me to go to jail, or if he graces me not to go to jail, it'll be his grace. And grace is sufficient. I feel like I was kind of selfish this morning. I had some other stuff, some other videos I was going to show. And I just would cover your prayers because you know the firestorm that's going to break out. But my message is very clear, guys. Equal rights, not special rights. I'm not going to go to safety in the restrooms and molestations and pedophilia. People are smart enough to go there. They know that. They're smart enough to know that. It's about equal rights, not special rights. They don't get a special right just because they think there's something they're not. We don't get special rights. My wife does not give up her right to be able to pee in privacy because some guy thinks he's a woman. That's what it's about. And as long as we keep it there, then, like Larry said or somebody said, most people are on our side anyway. Praise the Lord. Anything else good of the group? 7:58 here? Everybody say a prayer for us. That it will be successful. And I'm here from Chet, and I'm believing the Lord will breathe on it. And I believe we're going to see Target bow. And I believe that we're going to see decency codified into law once again in Ohio, across the nation. The legislature is going to join with North Carolina and with Georgia and say no. No to cross-dressing restrooms. No. See, there's a difference between somebody cross-dressing and going into the bathroom and the law permitting it. Whatever you legalize, you get more of. Cool? Anybody else? All right, folks. I'll be back here tomorrow. Unless they keep me overnight. I'll try to get out real early, although the judge probably didn't get up this early. If not, somebody will carry this thing. Truth goes marching on. God bless you all. Pray for me. See you tomorrow.